Hi, and welcome to Screenings and Focus, a podcast where we talk about your favorite TV shows and movies. I'm Diana, and today we are talking about The Fallout, Season 1. Renee is here to join me. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing amazing. So good to talk with you again. It's been a little bit.
Yes, it's always fun. I can't wait.
You know, before we get into our question of the day, I just quickly would love it if you would just share with people your writings on Undead Walking and also maybe a little bit about the camp that's coming up, just so people know.
Yeah, so I the editor for Undead Walking, which is a fan-sided, they have about over 30 different entertainment sites. So I write for several of them as a freelance, but my primary writing space is Undead Walking, and you can check it all out there. It obviously covers The Walking Dead, but I try to cover a lot of all the different shows and movies they're all being cast in now that The Walking Dead has ended. And of course, continued coverage of all of the spinoffs and anything right. coming after. So try to keep it pretty diverse, but it is very Walking Dead related. And then on that note, this Memorial Day weekend, I will be in Peachtree City at the Peachtree Hilton for the camp event, the annual camp event, which hosts I think there's at least 30 guests, most of them Walking Dead this year. You know, there are some other ones, but most of them are Walking Dead related. So it's just a smaller convention, very intimate. And we take over the whole hotel and there's parties every night and lots of actors to meet. You know, they, of course, do autos and selfies and those things. And we do panels. We've got several really fun panels to where we'll interview the actors and things. And then the one unique thing with the camp is it's very charity based. So we do a lot of charity work and a lot of the money goes to charity. And another thing is the intimate events that they will host, like say Josh Hamilton, who played Lance Hornsby, they have a wine tasting event with him, you know, things that kind of correlate with their character from The Walking Dead. And so it's a lot of fun. This year, Lori Holden is doing a mermaid painting with everybody because of the mermaid necklace that she got for Amy and was never able to give it to her, you know? So yeah, they try to make it kind of fit the character and things. But it's an amazing event. I've been with it since the beginning and it's just grown and grown. And they've got a lot of exciting new things. They're adding a horror con next year, separate from the camp, you know, still doing the camp. And then they also have this fall, they have an event at Universal Studios, which isn't a convention. It's a very, I don't know how you kind of explain it, but it's very interesting. But their website is thecampevents.com and you can learn about all the different things that they have there.
I love it. I'm so excited for you. I wish I was there to join you.
You need to come one year.
I know. I will. Hopefully I will. Keep my fingers crossed. Okay. We are going to get to the fallout, but I just wanted Renee to share with all of you who she was and what she does in case you haven't seen our podcast episodes on The Walking Dead or all the spinoffs. And of course, we are going to do Daryl Dixon season 2 coming up in the summer. So you can look forward to that if you watch any of The Walking Dead, which we hope you do. Anyway, we are going to get to this episode on the fallout. And I wanted to start off with a question of the day because we normally do, and it always pertains to something in the show. And so the question of the day is about the 50s. And I just would love to know what trend from the 50s would be fun to see again. So I want to pose this to you, all of our listeners, and also to Renee to see what she thinks.
I would say the fashion. I just love the dresses and that, you know, everybody was so, like, we always joke about how, you know, June Cleaver vacuuming in her pearls and all this kind of thing, you know. So I think the fashion would be so much fun.
I wholeheartedly agree. I was thinking the poodle skirts or even thinking about how they dressed in Greece.
Yes.
And just all of that, right? The pink ladies, just all of that. I always have loved the 50s, that whole vibe. So it's kind of cool that this franchise, this series and the video game has this retro futuristic vibe of the 50s. So I just think it's really cool. So yes, I totally agree. I mean, I was thinking about songs and it reminded me, of course, of Happy Days also, which is Rock Around. Is it Rock Around the Clock? Yeah. Yeah, Rock Around the Clock. And also I thought of La Bamba too. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot about the 50s because of this series in my household. And two of my sons have watched this series also. So I might bring in some things that they have to say about this particular TV show. But anyway, friends out there, let us know what you think. What trend from the 50s would you like to see again? You can let us know what you think. You can comment here on YouTube or reach out to us on social media at Screens in Focus. All the links are in the show notes. And also you can reach us at our website at screensinfocus.com because we would love to know what you think. Okay, so let's get into Fallout. So season one, we are diving into this wildly popular show and this first season of Fallout. And it's set in this post-apocalyptic Los Angeles world, which is based on the video game of the same name. And we see Lucy and Maximus and the ghoul. And they are just so many surprises happen in this series as they navigate this devastated world from a nuclear war. And it has such a mix of drama and humor and this, of course, retro vibe that we are talking about. So I would love to know, Renee, what your overall thoughts of the season were and also why you think everybody's loving it.
Well, I think that especially for non-gamers, this is something new. You know, it's the story isn't necessarily original at its heart, you know, at the root, I guess the root of it, but it does it in such a original execution, I guess, is what, you know, because this setting and everything. And so I think that's definitely a draw. It's like this, you know, retro feel, this world kind of frozen in time kind of thing where everything feels so, it's just, I love how like the 50s, you know, it's just so much fun to see all these things, you know, like I think like the little things that they have on their wrists, the vault dwellers, you know, and how big those are. And I think about like now our little watches can do like, you know, all these things. And they have this giant thing, but that's the technology they would have had in the 50s. So that's what they have. So it's fun to see those pieces like that. And, you know, see that 50s with the post-apocalyptic, you know, background, the fallout and the everything. It's just fun. It's fun TV. And I think that the characters are very well written. And, you know, you kind of gravitate towards them immediately. I mean, as soon as they're introduced in things, it's like, oh yeah, you know, there's things about them that you're just excited to learn more and see what the heck's going to happen with these people. And I just feel, oh, and I also feel like that the comedy element, there's just enough comedy to kind of against that wasteland kind of thing, which seems kind of out of place, but it fits, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just think people enjoy it because it is, has a lot of originality to it, whether, you know, be, even though it's, you know, we've seen apocalyptic stories, we've seen nuclear wastelands, this and that, and shows, movies, all kinds of things, but not in this theme, I guess. And then they add the music into it, which again is another like, contradiction of whatever. So it's, I just think it's a lot of fun. And I think that's why people really like it.
It is a lot of fun. And I think you're right about the contradictions. And I think that's why it works. And like you said, a dystopian world, an apocalyptic world, we've seen it before and we gravitate toward it, but it is done in a different way. And I think when you can build on these characters, which are really well done and they're well written and the characters are three-dimensional. So I think all of that is a draw. And also, like you had said, the mix of, I guess, drama. It doesn't feel like a lot of drama, but it is. I mean, there's a lot of violence and things happening, but it's a lot of humor too. And so I think that works, right? Because some of the things can be so devastating, but you're lightening them up with these, the humor that they have on the show. So I do think it's a great blend of that. And also, of course, the retro vibe. I think that really, really works. And I think that really elevates it. Mm-hmm. And I know we'll probably talk a little bit more later about it, but it's the whole cinematography. It is all the shots, all of the different worlds that we see are these characters in. So it's pretty exciting. So in saying that, the characters are the main, you know, element of this whole show. You know, we see Lucy, Maximus, and the ghoul. So let's talk a little bit about them and what you like about them or what you think about them. And let's start with Lucy since, well, actually we see the ghoul first. Mm-hmm. As Cooper Howard, but let's just start with Lucy. What did you think of her? And she is played by Ella Purnell, who is a vault dweller. So what were your thoughts of her and her character?
Well, I think she's amazing. I love her, that 1950s can-do attitude that she's got. You know, she's just going to leave the vault she's never been outside of and go find her dad. You know, she's like, I can do this. I've got training. And so I just love that because it's kind of that era. That was what they, it was all, you know, they tried to make everything positive. And even though they're experiencing a lot of issues in different realms of their lives or whatever. So I just love that about her because she just goes for it, you know, and her attitude's infectious then too, because you're excited for her. Like, oh, wow, she's going to go do this. And, you know, you're excited to see how she handles herself outside and things. And so I just think, you know, even though she steps outside, is completely out of her element, she really adapts and she just figures it out. And I really, really enjoyed her character.
I really liked her a lot too. I didn't know her. I know she's played in several other things. I think she was in Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, that's where I know her from.
Yeah. So I haven't had the opportunity to watch it just because of where it's at, where it streams. But I really did like her a lot. Mm-hmm. I really loved her character because she really changes from the beginning to the end. She does have that positiveness about her okie dokie.
Yep.
And she says a couple of times, and just her life in the vault, you know, because she seems chipper and maybe naive, but at the same time, I like that she is able to defend herself and she knows how to defend herself. Like when she gets married in episode one, and then she realizes that her new husband is a raider and she has to fight him, and she holds her own against him. And I thought, wow, you know, she really learned how to fight, which is interesting because she's in the vault, but you know, I'm sure she's learned that too, along with all the other things that she talks about. And I have to bring this up just because I thought about it as you were talking, how they're all in the vault, but they have relationships with each other because they talk about being cousins. And her one cousin is in love with her, and she's all, okay, but we know that can't, you know, move forward that way. We have to, you know, I have to find somebody else. So anyway, so I did really enjoy her as a character very much. And yeah, you know, we'll get to it in a little bit, but you know, the ending just has her in a different, you know, having experienced all the things that she does throughout the whole series. And I don't know if I should jump into it now, because now I'm thinking about it, because I'm thinking about when she has to cut out that guy's head, right? And when her finger gets cut off, it's just all these things that she's dealing with. And that how she sees Maximus as the knight and, you know, thinks he's like a hero and the greatest thing. And then of course she comes to know who he is and befriends him. And then they start, you know, their relationship. So there's just so much that she goes through in this season. And then even with her dad and what she finds out at the end, just a lot. I just think that it was really well cast, and I really do enjoy her character. Okay, let's get to Maximus, since I mentioned him already, who is played by Aaron Moten, and he is the Brotherhood of Steel. So what did you think about his character?
Well, you know, initially you kind of feel a little bad for him because, you know, he's getting beat up and all these things, you know, I mean, it's just like, you kind of feel bad when he goes out with the knight and he gets ready to do his job and all that kind of, you know, that's like a
squire. He's called a squire,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's a squire, right? And so that's supposed to be an honor to do this grunt work for this knight, right? And all these things. And it's just, you know, you see him kind of, he's not really into it, you know, but he's like, okay, I'm going to do it because I got to do it kind of thing, of course. Where other ones, they really thought it was an honor, and he just didn't see it quite that way. But, you know, then he takes on, you know, he's got all these things that, you know, he has all these responsibilities to take on. Then the guy's dead and he has a choice. You know, what do I do next? Where a lot of them would have called back and said what happened, but he just took charge and was like, I can do this, and attempted to do all these things that, you know, the knights would have done to, you know, carry on the mission. And so I thought he was interesting, and I feel like we didn't learn we need to learn more about him, I guess, is what my thing, you know, like my ultimate thing is. I feel like we definitely need to see more of him and see, you know, what's driving him and this and that, even though we got to see a little bit. I just feel like he was a very good character, and I liked the acting of the character, but I felt like he was very underdeveloped compared to Lucy and the ghoul. You know, we need to learn more about him, I guess, is what my whole thing is, you know. But I did like him, though. I thought he was a fun character. Very interesting.
You know, it's funny, when I first met him, I wasn't sure how I felt about him. But what I did like about him was that he felt real. Mm-hmm, he felt like a real character, because he didn't have a stance. He wasn't like, I'm the hero and this is what I'm going to do, or I'm the bad guy. He like was so good at playing this person in between that. Mm-hmm. I felt, because I didn't know, well, do I like him? You know, what does he do? Just the choices he made. Because sometimes I thought he was going to step out as being a hero, and then he didn't. Like, he was a little bit timid. Mm-hmm. And normally people don't play timid as one of the leading, you know, roles. So I thought that was kind of interesting that his character was that way. One of my sons, my oldest son, who has played the game and really dug in deep to this whole series, absolutely loved it. He was saying how season 2, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, season 2 really seems to him that they'll concentrate on him, and also that he might have some moral dilemmas about how he will move forward, either with, now I'm not sure if he exactly said this, but I don't know if it's either with the Brotherhood or if it's with how he sees Lucy after this, because he's knocked out and comes to after she's gone. So I don't know, what is he going to think about that? Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure where he's going to go with that. But we did see him as a child. A knight came and got him. So I think that's why he sort of appears to look up to the Brotherhood of Steel. But at the same time, we see him as a child. And so he was raised with these people who probably weren't super loving. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really know. But so, yes, we do need to learn more about his past. And I think that we will. But yeah, so he was a good character to learn a little bit more about. Okay, so let's get into Cooper Howard, the ghoul, played by Walter Goggins. Man, oh man, he was so good. Both my sons are like, this is our favorite character. We love him. We love him from previous things we've seen. We love him here. I really mostly know him from Sons of Anarchy. They know him from Justified and from, is it Vice Principals, I think, and such. And I think they have other shows that they watch him in. But what did you think of his character?
I thought he was fantastic. You know, there's all this hype around him. And I'm like, you know, seeing this picture of this guy, this whole, you know, it's like, what is this? So finally, one day, way before the, you know, premiere, I read about, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's, you know, well, Goggins, and I was like, okay, well, that'll be interesting. I feel like this looks, you know, after reading a little bit, I was like, this is a character he can definitely do, and it kind of feel like it was like written for him, you know what I mean? He was born to play this character. He was very interesting. It was interesting just to see his, you know, as Cooper and as the ghoul, you know, we got to learn so much about him, and he it'd be a lot of fun for him as an actor to play these very different roles of the same person, you know? So I just thought it was fun. I liked how they sprinkled his backstory throughout, you know, like we learned little bits and pieces, kind of piecing him together and things. So I thought it was a fantastic character.
Hopefully I said his name right. Did I say Walton Goggins? Anyway, I'm saying it now, Walton Goggins. Yes, I love how he had these two drastically different characters, as you has mentioned too. I noted that down. I guess the whole question that I kept having is, how did he get from here to here? How did he get from there to this person? And we really don't specifically know. We just know he survived this nuclear blast in 200 years and became a ghoul and has those injections that he has. And I know it all pertains to probably the video game, but you know, I kept wondering about his wife, and that's the portion that we keep learning more about. But of course, I'm so intrigued to know what happened to his daughter, because you know that is what his driving force probably is. And when I had seen the first few episodes, I was interested and I liked it a lot. But it wasn't until the last couple of episodes that I was really sucked in. I felt like, because then I was able to feel more of the story. So I went back and watched the first episode again. And when I watched the first episode, for me, and I'm sure other people did notice, but I hadn't noticed, that when he's at the party at the beginning before the nuclear blast happens, they say to him, oh, he's a big movie star. Or why is he doing these parties? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, he's paying alimony. And I thought, oh, alimony. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that he probably had a divorce in there. And that's probably because of where his wife was working and what she was doing and how she was playing a part in all of this. So I feel like they gave us so much information about him, but there's also so much more to know. Like, we don't know so much, which will be interesting. And that's why we all want to see what the next season will entail with him. But I just think he's just a really good actor. I think he portrayed this very well. You know, I thought that his costume or his makeup, to me, he reminded me a little bit of The Mask. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey in The Mask. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of Jim Carrey a little bit for some reason. It cracked me up. So, but yeah, just really well done. All right, we're going to head into themes. What themes did you see in this series?
Survival and, you know, the transformation of characters and loyalty, of course, with Maximus and, you know, Lucy and her morality and ethics. You know, she's always trying to, you know, keep on the straight and narrow and do the right thing, kind of, you know. So those were the ones that stood out to me. I mean, obviously survival, that's everybody's doing.
Yes. That,
you know, and so, but it's interesting to see how they all handle it differently.
They do.
You know, even other people, even other characters that are introduced and how they, you know, eke out their living in the same world, but they're you know, everyone's coming from different backgrounds and things to begin with. And it was just really fun to see the different ways everyone handles that, because that's their ultimate goal, is to survive in this horrible world.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this up so it doesn't escape my brain. I was telling my sons that Eric Estrada was into this, and they're like, who?
Yeah. I was so excited.
Oh, Eric Estrada. He was a huge TV star back in the day. I mean, he made movies too, but
yeah, Chips. I love that. Yeah.
And not the movie. We're talking about the original TV show. But he used to be a heartthrob back in the day. But I just thought it was interesting. He was in this, and I didn't know if that played a part in anything that I wasn't aware of. And I don't know that it did, but I just thought it was interesting. He was in this tiny little part. But they did have a lot of big actors in little parts. So I think a lot of people really wanted to be in the series. So I think that they're like, yeah, heck yeah, I'll do it. So yeah, but I think back to the themes, we saw a lot of resilience with Lucy trying to get to her dad. We also saw, like you had said, loyalty with Maximus and like you said, survival, of course, because everybody's trying to survive the best way they can, the only way that they know how. And also with identity and self-discovery, we're seeing that with the ghoul and also with Cooper, because in those flashbacks that we see, he's trying to piece things together and what he knows and also that the whole morals and ethics come into play too, because he realizes toward the end what is going to happen. And of course, with Lucy's dad, is it Hank? Yeah, I think it's Hank. How his approach to everything too. Because Lucy ends up uncovering all these family truths, and even at the end with her mother. Wow. That ghoul being her mom, that was kind of heartbreaking to see.
Yeah, it really was. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. To see her mom like that. And yeah, and so like I said, with Cooper's connections to Vault Tech points to those ethical questions. And also, I want to lean into or go into the other thoughts and tidbits that we might have on this, but I wanted to bring up the other vault that had sort of the misfits of everybody. What did you think of that?
It was so very odd. I was like, is this going to play a bigger role, or was that all we're seeing of this, or what? Because it was just like, oh, okay, so we're doing this now.
It was hilarious. His eye. Can you imagine, like, I don't know. It was so funny. And then the one guy with the ear in the middle of his head, too. I don't know. I have no idea how they really pulled all of this off with mm-hmm. all the costumes and all the makeup that had to be done. I'm sure, could you imagine Walt Goggins putting that on all the time? I don't know how long he had to be in that.
I think it was a few hours.
To put all that on and take it all off every time he's on set as that character. Wow, that's just amazing. And just all the sets and everywhere that they showed, the landscape of it all. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I personally loved, because I'm in California, all the landmarks that they're showing, because I recognize them all. I'm all, oh, Griffith Observatory. Oh, Hollywood. Oh, this. Oh, that. It was just kind of cool to see it all. What did you think about any of that?
Yeah, I guess one thing that really stood out to me was the, of course we talked about the 50s part. That was all great. But then I can't get over the soundtrack, because these things will be happening and then this this 50s song starts playing, and it was just such a fun, it added whimsy to this show that shouldn't have whimsy in it. But again, like we said, it works. And so, I think there's a lot of nostalgia in it all, and it's just fun to see it. I don't know why we all love nostalgia so much, but we do.
We do.
It's just neat to see those things from a bygone era still be used in like in the when he was as Cooper, to see all that, especially like you said, if you're noticing all those landmarks and things, that's even more fun, because it's always kind of fun to just put that, oh, look, that's, how it would have looked in the 50s, I guess, or whatever. I just thought it was such a fun series. I really, really enjoyed it.
It is a fun series. And you can't watch it and not hear all the music, because it's blaring too. It's not subtle in the background. It's right in your face. I think that was one of the reasons that my younger son really, really enjoyed this movie. He loved all of that. He's the one who brought up to me also the design and the costume and all of that, because it's just visually. And he asked me, when other people watch these shows, because he's a graphic visual guy. He's all, do other people automatically go to that? He goes, because that's what to me really makes an impact. I'm like, okay, you're asking me, your mother who loves film, talks about TV and film. Yes, of course I look at that. I don't know what other people look at, but I'm noticing that too. And music has always played a huge part for me in movies. Mm-hmm. It just, to me, helps it along. But with the music that we hear, we went out to dinner the other day and we were coming home and we're like, what should we listen to? And guess what we listened to? The soundtrack to Fallout. Oh my God. We were laughing so hard at I don't know the name of the song, but it's funny. And it just go listen to it, because it's quite amusing. But all of the music. Yeah. And even some of the really nice, good songs, that you would hear.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra or anyone else singing was just very cool. All right. Well, at the end, in the finale, we do see all three of them together. And now it kind of seems to me that it seems like moving forward that Lucy and the ghoul are going to work together moving forward.
Right? Yeah.
Because now it is revealed she knows what her dad has done, and it doesn't seem like it's sitting right with her. Mm-hmm. anymore, after she went all that way to save him. Yeah. Oh my God, how devastating for her to go through that, right? Mm-hmm. And then to see her mother there like that. And I had already mentioned how I think Maximus, we're not sure what is going to happen now, because he doesn't know what happened when he was knocked out. So, it'll be interesting to see. Do you have any thoughts on, where this could go in season two? I do want to mention that last shot was of Las Vegas, which I know is one of, I think, the favorite Fallout games that people really enjoy. So it looks like that'll be possibly the setting for season two, which will be really cool to see it in Las Vegas. Do you have any thoughts about the finale or what you hope you'll see in season two?
Yeah, I don't even know. It's one of those ones where it's like, this thing could go anywhere, because it's just already done so many. The first episode, things went like, oh, wow, that's very different than I thought what it was going to go. So yeah, it's very hard to imagine what will be next. But I do like the idea of Vegas. That would be very cool to see that, you know. We've seen a couple series where Vegas is kind of, you know, all tore apart and all this kind of stuff. But it's always fun to see another take on it, you know. And of course, 1950s Vegas is very different than currently. So yeah, but I don't even know what to guess. I just don't, because it just seems to take me for a loop every time I'm watching another episode.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It'll be fun. I think for me, I do want to see the ghoul and Lucy, I don't know, get to know each other more, maybe work together. I don't know. Oh, the dog. We didn't talk about the dog.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it, the dog in this. Every time there's a dog in there, you know, I'm all for the pet. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even talk about the creatures that came out of the sea. Oh,
yeah. Like that salamander guy or whatever he was, that big thing.
He had something for his little chompy things. Weren't they fingers or hands?
Yeah, they were fingers. Yeah. I don't know what kind of mutant that is.
That was very bizarre. So I love all that. I'm sure, again, it's probably all in the video game. And so it's all very cool. It's so good. I love how they just brought everything to life. Mm-hmm. It's just so well done. Thank you, Renee, for joining me in talking about, I was going to say The Fall Guy. That's a different episode, yeah, but yeah. The Fallout. Sorry, talking about Fallout.
Yes, of course. I was excited to talk to you about it, to see your thoughts and everything. So it's always fun.
I love hearing your thoughts. So thank you so much for joining me. I always love your perspective and your insights and everything you have to say. So it's always fun hanging out with you. So thank you, Renee. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Please be sure to check out Renee, her link is in our show notes. So she has great articles, so informative. So please, please go check that out.
Thank you.
All right. We want to thank you all for joining us today. Thanks for tuning in. We are grateful you joined us, and we hope something that we said today resonated with you, gave you a chuckle, some happiness and positivity. Please don't forget to subscribe to Screens and Focus at screensandfocus.com, because we would love more members of our TV club. You can find our website in our show notes. And remember to keep watching, keep exploring, and keep those screens in focus. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.